Welcome back to Season 11 of the Neuroscience Meets Social and Emotional Learning podcast, where we connect the science-based evidence behind social and emotional learning and emotional intelligence training for improved well-being, achievement, productivity, and results using what I saw as the missing link, since we weren't taught this when we were growing up in school, the application of practical neuroscience. I'm Andrea Samadi, an author and an educator with a passion for learning, and launched this podcast 5 years ago with the goal of bringing all the leading experts together in one place to help us to apply this research in our daily lives. On today's episode, number 327, we continue with our 18-week self-leadership series based on Grant Bosnick's Tailored Approaches to Self-Leadership that we first dove into with our interview on episode 321 just a few weeks ago. Now that we've started this series, I hope you can see how practicing and strengthening the skills that we're learning each week is cumulative. Each week, we're learning something new that builds off the prior week to help take us to greater heights in 2024. There's great power and self-awareness that comes along with mapping out a plan designed specifically for you. And I do encourage everyone to take Grant Bosnick's leadership self-assessment so you can see the areas that you score a high, a medium, or of low level of importance for you to focus on this year. For today's episode, 327, we covered Chapter 6, The Science Behind Our Physical Health, and we've got to narrow our focus here from a wide and complex topic to something we can implement immediately. So today we'll cover the hydrated brain for improving our cognitive performance. Today we'll dive into Chapter 6 of Grant Bosnick's book as we cover the science behind our physical health, which came out as low importance or a red score for me alongside emotion regulation. And if you haven't taken the self-assessment, you'll know it's how you answer the questions based on what's of high priority for you that determines the lessons that are important for you to begin now or ones that you might think you've got a handle on so they show up as lower priority like this topic did for me. Not that physical health or emotion regulation is of low priority for me. It's actually quite the opposite. But I block out time in the day for both these topics, and this time is non-negotiable. So I will say that while the broad term of physical health that Grant covers in Pathway 4 of his book is extremely important to me, it is a very complex topic and one that we've been focused on since the pandemic geared us into looking closer at our physical and mental health. We created the top health staples that are scientifically proven to boost our physical and mental health, where we've now added a sixth one with stress reduction for Podbean's Wellness Week. And we covered that back in 2020 when I was asked to cover this topic. It was here where we shifted our attention to be as equally focused on the health of our mind, our mental health, in addition to our physical health. You can't have one without the other. When guests have approached me over the years to join us on our podcast, if they fall into these health staples with an angle that I've not yet covered, it's really easy to say yes, so we can keep moving our physical and mental health forward. We're always looking for what's new and innovative in this area. How many times have we seen Dr. Gregory Kelly from neurohacker.com? He's focused on pioneering systems for human optimization and longevity. Well, we've seen him twice so far, and he's on the schedule for the middle of April to cover Qualia NAD, where we'll learn more about NAD that's often called the aging molecule, due to its profound influence on how well or how poorly we will age. And we recently met Dmitry Leonov with a new nanotechnology that I've been wearing since our interview the end of this year that's been spotted on celebrities like Robert Downey Jr. We're always looking for what's new to take us all to new heights with our physical and mental health, with some exciting and new innovators who we'll be covering in the next few months. So what does Grant Bosnick say about our physical health in his book, Tailored Approaches to Self-Leadership? He begins with the importance of looking at what we eat. And he asks, what is it doing to your brain? What I like about Grant's book and why I wanted to cover each chapter over the next 18 weeks is because it's a paradigm shift for us to think about how anything we do impacts our brain. Think about this for a minute. 25 years ago, when I was setting goals for my future, no one said to me, "Hey, Andrea, think about how your brain will tie into the goals that you're setting." Or, "What foods are you eating for your brain health?" Or even, "Did you know that exercise will build a stronger, more resilient brain?" I didn't even begin to consider my brain until 2014, when Jeff Kleck, he was an Arizona school administrator that we met on episode 246, he shared all his notes, his books, and his resources with me, urging me that understanding how our brain operates will be of critical importance in the future. And boy, was he ever right. I still keep in touch with him and let him know all the time just how grateful I was for the time he spent explaining all that he'd learned about the brain with me. Grant goes over foods that are important for our brain health and our productivity, specifically foods that have a low glycemic index, which means that they release energy slowly into the bloodstream. And we've covered this topic on various episodes, specifically with the damaging impacts of sugar on the brain and the body, and we've even used a glucose monitor to test what happens to our body with too much sugar and how it can tank our overall health and productivity. While reading this chapter, Grant echoed many of the experts I'm sure you've heard us mention, like Dr. Daniel and Tana Amen from their Brain Warrior Way podcast, who reminded us to always make decisions with our brain in mind by thinking or saying out loud with everything we do, is this decision good for my brain or not? Dr. Amen said many things that caught my attention while listening to his podcast over the years, and I often took his words of wisdom and created graphics to keep his thoughts close. While talking about our daily habits and aging, which I know we all want to do gracefully, he reminded us that your everyday habits and decisions are either boosting or stealing your brain's reserve, and they're either accelerating the aging process, which none of us want to do on purpose, or they're rejuvenating your brain. And it was Dr. Amen who first caught my attention with the importance of loving my brain, this organ that controls everything that I am and everything that I do. And finally, just tying in an expert to Grant's Chapter 6 on physical health, it was when Dr. Amen mentioned your competitive advantage or disadvantage is the actual physical functioning of your brain. And this statement made me take a good look at whether I was boosting my brain reserve and rejuvenating the aging process or accelerating it. And Grant covers many of the top health staples in Chapter 6, highlighting what many experts had been hitting home for us over the past few years, like the importance of sleep, taking power naps, and adding in ideas for relaxation with mindfulness and massage. But it was his focus on breathing that helps with emotion regulation and memory recall that caught my attention in Chapter 6. I remember watching Stanford professor Dr. Andrew Huberman demonstrate how to self-regulate your brain in less than a minute on one of his podcast episodes, and it was so impactful for me that I use this method all the time now. I love how Grant covers how to use pranayama breathing for emotion regulation and memory, as well as for increasing concentration. The topic of physical health is complex, and we can go into many different directions, which is why we created the top six health staples to stay focused on moving the needle towards physical health with one idea at a time. I noticed that I would work on one area, like sleep, for instance, and I could see improvements here, but another area would suffer. It's a balancing act for sure, requiring focused attention. So for today, to keep it simple, I want to focus on something that we might forget about our brain and our physical health. And that is that our brain is 75% water. And when our brain is functioning on a full reserve of water, we'll be able to think faster, be more focused, and experience greater clarity and creativity. Grant reminds us in Chapter 6 of the importance of hydration. And he says water is essential for delivering nutrients to our brain and for removing toxins. When our brain is fully hydrated, the exchange of nutrients and toxins will be more efficient, thus ensuring better concentration and mental alertness. Grant mentions our brain is 75% water, of the importance of hydration, and then I remembered learning this fact that 90 minutes of sweating can temporarily shrink the brain as much as 1 year of aging does. And I learned this from Deanne Albin's 72 Amazing Brain Facts. And this brain fact brought home for me just how important hydration is for our brain health. You'll need to read Chapter 6 of Grant's book to receive all his tips, but he does cover the many benefits of health, including drinking water. He says that keeping our brain hydrated helps to improve our concentration and cognition. It helps to balance our mood and emotions. It maintains a good memory. It boosts our brain's reaction time. It increases blood flow and oxygen to the brain. It prevents and relieves headaches, and it reduces stress. So to review and conclude this week's episode 327, Chapter 6 on our physical health, we narrow the topic down to our hydrated brain. Did you know that our brain is 75% water? And when our brain is functioning on a full reserve of water, we'll be able to think faster, be more focused, and experience greater clarity and creativity. Grant reminds us that everyone is unique and needs different amounts of water per day, but he suggests an adequate intake for men is roughly around 3 liters or 100 fluid ounces a day, and for women it's about 2.2 liters or 74 fluid ounces a day. So think about this. Knowing how important water is for the brain, do you know how much water you drink? And I've definitely started paying attention to this, especially knowing how sweating can temporarily shrink the brain. We've been using an infrared sauna here, another health device that calls for an increase in water intake, and I can tell you with 100% certainty that when I'm not drinking enough water, it shows up with my ability to think with clarity. What do you think? Could you improve your water intake? Just by thinking about ways to improve our brain health, we'll over time be able to move the needle in the direction of health and wellness. And this was the concept that Grant wanted us to uncover in Chapter 6. I hope you learned something new, perhaps a new angle for your physical health, as you think about ways to stay hydrated as we look for new ideas to improve our health in 2024. Now it's here I'm hoping that we take the information we're learning and we connect the dots to form knowledge. And then when we apply this knowledge, we become wise. This is where we go from theory to practice on this podcast. So to apply these concepts, using Grant Bosnick's map, reflect back to Chapter 2 on the neuroscience of goals and Kurt Lewin's force field theory. And think, what are you doing today to gain the momentum needed to reach new and heightened levels of performance this year? How are you improving your mental and physical health to gain the momentum we talked about in this chapter? Then reflect back to Chapter 3 on the neuroscience of inspiration. How are you using people or places that inspire you to take your results to greater heights? Think about this as it relates to your physical and mental health. What inspiration do you need to take more action in this area? then reflect back to Chapter 4 on the neuroscience of mindfulness. Where are you in your mindfulness journey? Mindfulness and breathing was listed often in Chapter 6 of Grant's book. How is mindfulness helping you with your physical and mental health? Then reflect back to Chapter 5 on the neuroscience behind peak performance and think about how you're practicing getting into flow. When do you notice it the most? Is it during physical exercise or meditation? And are you practicing this state to gain 5 times more productivity this year? And I'll close out this episode with a quote that I'm hoping will urge all of us to grab a glass of water as we think about how we'll implement this powerful concept into our week. Lauren Isley said, "If there is magic on this planet, it's contained in water." And I'll have to agree. Grant taught us how drinking water helps us, improving our concentration, our cognition, our mood, our emotions, our memory, reaction time. It increases oxygen to our brain and prevents headaches and reduces stress. So I'm going to go grab a glass of water, and I'll see you next week with Chapter 7 on Insight.
If you're enjoying the Neuroscience Meets Social and Emotional Learning podcast, please don't forget to subscribe so you'll stay up to date with our new episodes. While you're there, please feel free to give us a review or a 5-star rating, as it helps others find us. For more information on our programs, books and tools for schools and the workplace, visit us at www.achieveit360.com.